NFL Scouting Combine Indianapolis, 9 to noon production here for a couple of days thanks to Whiting Clinic, LASIK and Eye Care, and WhitingClinic.com. Rick Spielman, general manager for the Minnesota Vikings, joins us yearly here. And generally the first day, what we do is we kind of take the local approach, talk to a lot of the local people, then get a little more national on Friday. What's the BS quotient like here? Not necessarily with you and I, because I know where that stands. But like when you're talking to the Rick Spielmans with other teams and coaches and stuff like that, and just having a surfacey conversation with people, how much BS is being slung around?
You know, people really don't exchange a lot of information because it's a competitive disadvantage. So just like when I'm talking with other GMs and things like that, you're talking a lot of general things and how your family's doing and so on and so forth.
But they couldn't care less.
But very rarely do you say, hey, man, I really like this guy. What'd you guys think of him? Or
the general manager for the Tennessee Titans couldn't care less how well Juan is playing at lacrosse or whomever.
Yeah, no.
So it's like being in an elevator saying, sure is cold.
Yeah.
Might be time to cover those tomatoes.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, good luck next year. So nobody comes right out and says, what are you thinking of 23?
Yeah, no.
Well, what's the purpose of even having a conversation?
Just why do you have a conversation with Charch over here?
Well, because, good point. You know, you don't get anything.
Because
good
we compliment each other. You know, I like to compliment his analytical ways. So you can't go up to any general manager and say, what do you really think of Chase Warmack or Chance Warmack?
You are reading that list. Make sure next year at this time you have all this stuff
memorized. I'm an elite Jonathan Cooper mind. Anything you want to know about Jonathan Cooper, the guard from North Carolina, I'm your guy, okay?
Funny. When you were on a couple weeks ago, we talked about Phil Loadholt. You said the team's going to make an effort to keep him.
We're going to make an effort to keep all of our
We're going to bring Phil back. It's the Minnesota Moving Company. Good God.
Yeah.
The strength of the team,
I'm sure,
Rick.
You're not going to make an effort to keep everybody.
Everybody is.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Talk to me about if you wanted to apply the franchise tag, how does it work on a right tackle? Do you pay the average of the top five tackles, or is it spread across all offensive linemen?
Yeah.
Right? It's all offensive linemen, right?
Right.
Is that the way it works?
Yeah.
Average
That's
cost.
A lot of money, Rick.
We have the franchise
the offensive
numbers
line.
And with those numbers, and the offensive line is a pretty high number.
Yeah, the left tackle, you know, makes you know it pretty expensive.
The center makes a lot, Rick.
Where the biggest discrepancy comes is with those 34 teams, with those outside linebackers, are they defensive end money or are they linebacker money?
Ooh.
So that's where you get a little bit more sticky.
I bet.
The other positions are pretty clear cut.
And like certain tight ends who think they're receivers, but they're designated tight ends. There was a certain one in the division last year who had a problem with his team thinking, you know, I'm worth this, but you want to give me this.
Yeah, that is true. Going back to Loadholt for a minute, is it not safe to say that the team's got the franchise tag available, is it not safe to say that he would be a potential candidate for that? Were you not able to sign him to a new contract?
I'm not going to say if we would ever use or not use our franchise tag. You look at the player. We graded all our players just like we grade all the players that are going to become unrestricted free agents, and you make determine what their value is.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, to me, whatever that value is, and you stick to that philosophy. If you think you can get a deal done, you get a deal done. If you can't, is he worth that type of money to be a franchise-type player? So those are all the internal discussions that you do have.
The other thing you get out of the franchise is you get one more year to take a look at him, right? I mean, another year to really feel like, is this a guy we want to make a five-year commitment to? After so you get a whole another year.
But
of data
there's more in depth to that, okay? Because that's a pretty significant number for 1 year.
Oh yeah, then for sure.
What's the domino effect in order to have that number to fit under the cap? Since the cap is relatively flat, then how do you make all the other pieces fit as well?
What do you think of
did he have any options if a deal does not get done with any of the players you're talking about? You're picking one specific player, but
yes.
This is applicable to all the free agents we have.
Sure, but he seems like a likely candidate because he's probably going to be a well-paid guy if he hits the open market. And this would give you the ability. You'd have to pay him well. But
you know, you're colluding right now, and you can't be out there trying to cut deals. Until 3 days before the new league year kicks off. So technically, you're illegal right now.
That's right. He's your guy, though, right? I mean, you can talk about your own players. I understand you're not going to tip your hand on what your plan is,
Correct.
But he's still one of your guys.
They're all our guys.
Yeah, but only for a few more weeks, and you got to deal with all that stuff. And what do you do with free agency? Do you, obviously, without divulging the plan, but you know, last year, clearly, you were secure with letting the market establish itself and kind of seeing where the proverbial chips fell. Is that do you think that'll be teams' approaches in free agency this year?
We'll also, you know, like I said, we'll have a better idea coming out of this combine on if there is a potential deal to get done before the new league year starts, or is it something where they're going to have to go out and establish their market. In the past, you know, they had to wait till the gun went off,
yep. mm-hmm.
and then went out and making visits. But with this new 3-day rule and being able to start them opening up negotiations before the new league year, you'll have a pretty good indication at least what the market value will be.
So that means when Pierre Garçon signs with the Washington Redskins 45 seconds after free agency begins, we don't think it was just a quick 30-second phone call.
Well, they just got a deal done fast.
That was fast,
really
man.
Fast,
fast talkers over there. Yeah. It's just good. Not a lot of things to, not a lot of I's to dot or T's to cross, right? Hey, with the receivers this year, receivers or DBs at the combine and in the draft, is there a good flavor this year for receivers, DBs, kick returners, punt returners like that, the combo platter bit?
There are some opportunities out there that a lot of the receivers and some DBs that are pretty significant punt and kickoff returners.
Yep.
So you weigh that into your grade as you sit there and say, this guy not only is going to be a good receiver, but he definitely can help you as a returner as well.
Any particular reason why you might need a kick returner?
No reason.
No. Nope.
Just
looking at all spots.
Right now we have zero guys under contract, and we're looking to build this roster.
I understand that. Tavon Austin from West Virginia.
What number is he on your list there your due diligence?
He's
before
Mike
he came
Mayock's
down here,
fourth
very
ranked.
Disappointed in you.
Do you want to know who Mike Mayock's top five receivers are in the draft?
No, Mike does a great job, so I'll take a peek at that.
He has something called Tavon Austin as fourth. And then I read up on him a little bit on the plane flight here. Is he a Darren Sproles type? Is he more of a
He's a
hybrid?
Dynamic playmaker,
yeah.
Undersized receiver that has tremendous speed,
mm-hmm.
and he does a lot of things. I mean, he does their kickoff returns. He's done punt returns.
Yeah.
They lined him up in the backfield, I think, against Oklahoma, where he rushed for almost 300 yards as a running back. He does play slot. So he's one of those dynamic playmakers that is in the draft this year. The biggest thing people will be asking is, you know, and he's been very durable through his career at West Virginia, but what's with that size and what actually his size is.
What about Cordarrelle Patterson? All the online stuff that we follow indicate that he seems to be the number one ranked receiver into the draft. I'm not asking you to unveil your rankings, but from a skill set standpoint, Cordarrelle Patterson, what's his story?
Big receiver with some return skills, very athletic. One-year kid at Tennessee, came from a JC.
Right.
So, no, he's a very talented football player.
Rick Spielman, Vikings general manager, Paul Charchi.
All those guys on your list right now are very talented football players.
Well, I got the top five. I mean, if there's not, there's got to be a lot of talent listed in these top fives that I have here. But, you know, you got to get deeper to find the Red Ellisons and the Jarius Wrights and even the Blair Walshes and stuff like that. Blair Walsh was at the combine last year, right?
Yes.
And Greg Zuerlein wasn't.
Correct. He was at the regional combine.
Right.
And what's the regional combine, by the way?
What that is the NFL has put together regional combines around the country.
Okay.
And players pay a fee. I don't know exactly what the fee is to come in and do a mini combine like this. They run a 40, put them through drills.
Okay.
As they go around the country, they'll pick the top 100 out of those mini
regionals.
Combines
yeah.
to have a super regional.
Ah.
And then those top 100 will go down there and then go through a combine again.
Do the Vikings send scouts to every level of this?
We wait
or only the super combine?
The super combine.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll have we had two guys here last year. We'll have two guys. I think it's moved from Detroit down to Dallas this year. And we'll have guys down there. And that's usually that first week in April.
All right, so that hasn't happened. That whole process hasn't gone.
It's in the
yet.
Process now.
It
They're
is.
Going through the smaller regions.
Did the girl kicker end up getting to the through her region?
I don't know. I have no idea.
We don't need a kicker. We're good.
Well, we are good, but it's a fascinating story nonetheless.
Yeah, no, I read that the other day.
Yeah,
but that's great. You know, it's a great opportunity.
If she's an unbelievable kicker with a super strong leg, and say she legitimately kicks the ball as well as a boy, would anybody? put a female kicker on their team?
I don't know.
Or at least give her a tryout.
I have no idea.
It would be novel.
What do you do in the locker room? I mean, you know, so many things, so many events happen in the locker room, right?
Yeah.
It would just, I don't know. It'd be, you know, there would be some facility-related issues that you'd have to try to figure out.
How do you handle Honey Badger from LSU, Tyrann Mathieu?
He'll be in part of the process, just like everybody is.
Yeah, a lot of good questions for his interview.
Yeah, there'll be, you know, he'll be asked a lot of questions, I'm sure. I mean, sure, you guys will do the same thing when he has an opportunity to get to the podium to dig a little bit and see, you know, I know everybody knows about the issues, just can you handle the issues and is he a right fit?
Well, did he have a chance to be college football's best defensive player last year for LSU before he got kicked off the team? I mean, of all players in college football, he might have been the very best, right?
He's one of those very talented football players, but LSU has a lot of very talented football players down there. As you can see off your list, there's a lot of defensive players that are very talented.
Well, you have a list, too. Why do you keep making fun of my list?
I'm not making fun of your
list. Yeah, you are. You have a list, too. Can I see your list? You keep looking at mine. That's not fair. I mean, this is very unfair. You have a great draft. You're not handling prosperity very well with the radio show. And I'd like to see your list so that we can – here's my list.
And your list is a lot better than our list.
My list goes Geno Smith, Matt Barkley, Mike Glennon, something called Ryan Nassib, and Landry Jones. What's your list look like with top five quarterbacks? It's fairness in list-sharing act, Rick.
Yeah, we'll kind of – I'd like to draw the line at some point.
Yeah, that might be it. Yeah. Well, let's talk about quarterback because you and I have talked in years past about when we threw out the phrase, you can never have too many good quarterbacks. This team didn't, as it turned out, it looks like this team didn't have enough good quarterbacks last year because when we needed to go to our backup in a playoff game, we got a really bad performance from our backup quarterback. So your thoughts on addressing that position?
We'll look at, just like at every one of our positions.
Yeah.
If there is, we're going to try to bring in competition behind Christian.
Yeah.
We honestly feel Christian is our quarterback of the future and very excited about seeing his progress next year, but whether we address it for a potential veteran to come in through the UFA market, you can't discount Joe, who had, you know, didn't play as well as he wanted to in that Green Bay game, but he has shown over the years that he's been here that he can go out and win some games for you. And you know, PA's fine that gave me on the
McLeod Bethel Thompson, right?
Yes.
But you know, who says you don't try to create as much competition as you can in that position, and that's different than no other position.
You do want Christian. If you were to take a quarterback in the first half of the draft,
he wants a quarterback at 23.
I want a quarterback who can press Christian, and I want Christian to embrace the competition. I don't feel like you want to have to worry about his ego and how he might feel.
I don't think you have to worry about Christian's ego.
I hope not. If it turned out that you guys had a mid-first round grade, I'm just hypothetically here, Geno Smith, I hope that at 23 you'd still be willing to take him if he felt like a good value at 23, and let the best man win. And if the worst case scenario is you've got two good quarterbacks, as you and I have said before, you can never have too many good quarterbacks.
No, it's great to have as many quarterbacks as you can possibly have.
Yeah.
But in free agency, I mean, just because the Matt Moores and Bruce Gretkowski's and Drew Stanton's and Chase Daniel, names like that, we're not talking to you because I know you can't talk about them, but he and I spar back and forth. Just because they don't, we have a starting quarterback is what my stress point on it is. And maybe to have somebody more experienced behind Christian, I don't think it's a bad thing, but you obviously know more about the depth of the quarterback draft than do we, like Russell Wilson, where he went in the draft last year. Is there a chance something like that happens middle of the draft?
I don't know that, you know, and I'm not going to comment on this year's quarterbacks coming out in the draft. The one thing I can tell you is, you know, we have a pretty good football team. We're not there yet, but we're making progress, and we've spent the last month trying to identify the needs that we have to help us take the next step. And what we've done is, and I do every year, is put together the master sheet so you can see how we graded our guys, how we graded the UFAs, how we graded guys that are potentially cut or potential trade guys or guys that may get their contracts restructured. So we have a separate list like that. Then we just finished our draft meetings on Monday. And now I have the top, you know, 15, 20 guys at each position. So you can see where the depth is in each of those areas and how, after we've identified our needs, how you're going to fill those needs and try to address them.
So last one, go.
You've already got guys kind of preliminarily ranked at each of the positions. You have a sense of depth and everything else. Then tell us about here at the combine how the data gleaned at the combine ends up reshuffling all of those grades.
It doesn't reshuffle them. For the most part, they're going to be predominantly in the categories that we grade them in right now.
And that's because you value game tape a lot more than you value a 40 time, right?
But now when the medical comes in, that can ding them out of there. Mm-hmm. When a character comes in, that can ding them out of there. We have to have our coaches are now starting the evaluation process.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that we'll get here, but we're not going to take a guy in the seventh round and he runs a 4-1 here at the 40 and move him all the way up to the first round.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
Good luck. Thank you, Rick. Okay.
Appreciate it.
Good. Have a wonderful day. Best of luck.
I'm glad I answered all your questions directly and to the point.
Yeah, it's right. The combine. Our work is done. Yours has just begun. Best of luck, okay, sir?
Thank you.
Rick Spielman, Architect, General Manager, Minnesota Vikings from the Indianapolis Scouting Combine. It's 9 to noon.